Rosie Price's highly anticipated debut novel, What Red Was, is a story of modern love, the impact of trauma, and the courage it takes to speak out. Kate and Max are inseparable, but loving Max means knowing his wealthy family. At their home, Kate's life is shattered in a bedroom while a party goes on downstairs. Described as subversive and sophisticated by Elle, the best debut fiction I've ever read, says the high-low's Pandora Sykes. What Red Was is out now in hardback, ebook, and audiobook.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hi, I'm Sarah Ozo-Irabo, host of Books and Rhymes, the podcast that makes you fall in love with reading while flipping a script with a musical twist on your favourite books. Join me on Mondays as I invite guests to pair a book with a song or an album that sparks the same emotional connection. A playlist of songs featured in each episode is available on booksandrhymes.com. Subscribe to Books and Rhymes, the podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, Acast and your favourite podcast listening platforms.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go Hilo.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Lulu Simon. Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys.
Podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Bricks Bachelor Roast, which is back. Please go subscribe and listen to that if you like hearing people make fun of stupid, awkward hookers on TV. Come on, it's fun. And here I am with Ben Mandelker, my co-host and beautiful little friend, who also makes Real Housewares of Kitchen Island cartoons over on YouTube. They're brilliant and funny, so please go subscribe to those on LUTube. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I know I've been delinquent. I haven't posted a new episode in like 3 or 4 weeks, so I got to write a new one and put it up there. So stay tuned.
Evergreen. Everybody, I'm going to do some quick shilling. I know you're all completely shocked. What a fun time we're going to have tomorrow night over in Irvine. We are doing our Orange County show. So if you're in Orange County and want to come see us do the first episode of the season of Southern Charm live and in person, come over. You can get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you'll find our calendar and ticket links for our upcoming shows in Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Baltimore, and Nashville. A couple of those are sold out. You're going to have to go to the site to find out which. Also, we have limited shirts every month. This month, we have Straight to the Rosé and Rosé All Day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we've got a very special Winter is Crappening shirt for our Game of Thrones podcast that says, "Shut up, Bram!" So those are all up at crappensmerch.com as well. And I think that's it, right, Ben?
Well, speaking of Winter's Crappening, I mean, only one episode of Game of Thrones left. So as far as we can tell, it's probably only one episode left of Winter's Crappening, and that's this Sunday. So everyone go be sure to subscribe and like let's get our biggest numbers ever for that podcast. It'll be really, really fun. And by the way, and thanks to everyone who has listened and subscribed to the podcast this season. We've had a blast doing it. So we really appreciate you guys supporting our side venture.
Yeah, and as usual, if you want video recaps, last week's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was a video. So you can get videos and live streams. We do a couple a week. You can find those over on Patreon, as well as our bonus episodes. This week, we covered Texicanas and Project Runway.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the shilling. Today, we've got some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, otherwise known as, How Could You Stab Me in the Heart?
I love it if that was what it was really called.
Yeah. Real Housewives of You've Hurt Me Deeply.
Real Housewives of We Have No Friendship. So the episode opens up, you know, the usual, like, little quick shots around town, see what everyone's up to. We see Camille coming down a staircase in her wedding dress and her friend Kimber. And, of course, she has a friend named Kimber. But her
friend, of course.
Yeah, right? Like, she doesn't have a friend named Kimberly. She doesn't have a friend named Kim. She has a friend named Kimber. It's so Camille. Yeah.
So she's like, so her.
Yeah. She's, like, stunning. And Camille goes, oh, thank you.
And her gay is like, you look just like Cinderella. I'm like, she has never cleaned a day in her life. Okay. Please don't make her like the most famous cleaning lady of all time.
She's accused all the little birds around her of being know-it-alls. I don't know about that bluebird. It's a little bit of a know-it-all.
Did you say I was insecure without the birds here?
I guess I just have something of a Jesus complex with these birds.
I like that the lead up to Camille's house, the outdoor B-roll shots, it's somebody rollerblading really awkwardly. I was like, of course we're at Camille's house.
And people are still rollerblading. Of course, yes. Just like Camille, trapped in the 90s. So then we go over to go to Lisa's place, and guess what? The kitchen's done. Hey, remember that storyline? We finished it. I was like,
thank God.
I'm also saying thank God because we have had to endure many seasons-long kitchen transformations on Real Housewives. So I appreciate this, like, three-episode arc. That was really quick, but it just was surprising. I thought we were going to have at least one episode of it's almost done, not go directly to it's completely done.
Yeah, the time is almost up. We better, where are we going to find the perfect fridge? This one is more annoying than ever, though, because Sessa,
yeah.
Incessantly ass-kissing Sessa is there going, oh my god, it looks so good.
Yeah, I was like, do we really need John Sessa for the big kitchen reveal? Couldn't we have done, where's Rocio? I would have much preferred it with Rocio, okay?
Because
she's the one who got to be cleaning this thing. By the way, I did not love the kitchen, I have to say. I thought it was like very sterile and like sad. And even though it was bright, it was like, I don't know, like super white with like little light pink accents with the kitchenware, but then these accents, these like silver accents and everything, it made me want to puke.
I thought it was pretty, but I mean, it is very Lisa Vanderpump, which isn't necessarily a compliment because it's like, how are you going to resell that? You know, it goes to her like kind of disco kitchen thing.
Yeah.
And did you notice that she has one of those crazy expensive Italian ovens?
Like the one
that Mark got?
Really? Like, I did not notice that. I think at that point I was like blinded by all the light bouncing off those white countertops.
Yeah, well, it explains why the kitchen's so expensive. It was all that stove, you know, because the rest of it's just countertop. I mean, you know, it's nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's been a horrible 6 months, but this makes me feel so much better. And John's like, it is so, Lisa Vanderpump. She deserves it. I was like, oh my god, John Sessa. Jesus Christ.
Enough. And by the way, we posted it on our Instagram, but John Blizzard totally showed up at some on like Deandra Simmons's Instagram feed, like in the stories. They went to some event. Deandra had some event and John Blizzard was there. I was like, of course John Blizzard's there. Just so thirsty, just eager to go to every Housewife event. Get into all their good graces.
Trapped in thirst.
Yeah.
And then Lisa has to get a little dig in there. He's like, she deserves that hot. And she's like, I think so. Other people might not think so. Ooh. It's like, okay, victim, cut it. Cut the crap.
Exactly. And then we go over to Erica Jane, and she's being interviewed for E Daily Pop, whatever it's called, by Justin Sylvester, which is funny because Justin was Kyle's former assistant, the lady sitter. So it's just kind of, even though, yes, he is an anchor of an entertainment show on like a major basic cable network, I still think of him as Kyle's assistant. So I just thought it was funny of Erica being interviewed by Kyle's assistant.
Well, I was wondering where they were playing, because outside, I put outside the video jerk off booth place, they're putting up letters for a sign that says Erica Jane. So he's like, "You haven't been to LA in a while. How do you feel about playing LA again, girl?" And she's like, "Let's be honest, all right? People in LA don't take time to pop off. They just like to sit there, like judging. Justin, how could you? But yes, it's so judging. But that's okay. I'm just here to have a good time." LA is like a party capital of the world.
I know.
Frickin' nincompoop.
I don't know. LA audiences can be tricky.
LA can party. Give me a break, Erica. Okay. Sing a song.
So then we go over. We land on Dorit making PK some coffee. And he's asking how the camping was. And she's, you know, she's saying how it was fun and the kids would love it. And PK's like, "Honey, nothing about us is RV holidays, okay? We can't even afford..." I don't know what my PK accent is right now.
Babe.
Thank you.
Nothing about us is RV holidays, babe.
You gotta say babe. Sometimes you gotta say babe to get into it. I just was sort of like in a generic British place. And I was like, this feels weird. It almost sounds too sophisticated. I don't know what to do. Save me, Ronnie.
He has a nameplate in his office that says, "Talented motherfucker, babe." Which I thought was funny. She's like, "It's not like roughing it, PK." She goes, "PK is not a wilderness kind of guy. Not at all. But this cable girl can climb mountains, rock climb, kick ass after ping pong pong pong."
PK's not a wilderness kind of guy. He's more of a chocolate pudding and put your feet in marshmallow shoes kind of guy.
If diabetes was a wilderness, PK would be climbing the highest rock in the city.
Diabetes were a wilderness.
So he's like, "Well, I don't understand how camping works. Did you brush your teeth before you went to bed then, babe?" She's like, "When have you ever known me not to brush my teeth?" And he goes, "There was no sink." It's like, these two, man, these two really make each other happy in a way that no one can understand.
Yeah, they're meant for each other. So PK is saying that he can't go to Camille's wedding. He's like, "Babe, I got so much going on. I've got work. I've got to focus. I've got my Jello of the Month arriving. Can't leave, babe.
I've got to stay here in case they come to repossess the house, babe. All right, got to keep changing that combination on the front door, babe."
And then Dorit tells us that basically anytime she goes out of town for a few days, her mother flies from the East Coast to take care of the kids because PK has got all his stuff that he's doing. But I'm like, don't they already have like three nannies? So it's like three nannies and mom has to fly out from Connecticut.
And one of the things on the mom's to-do list is to make sure PK eats. I'm sure PK knows how to eat by now. Okay.
I think he's got that
practice
covered.
Makes perfect. I mean, give the guy a break.
He is on the threshold of having diabetes 1, 2, 3, and 16.
Yeah. They'll blame the mother for it.
Yeah. So then we go over to Kyle's house where Kyle, Teddy, and Lisa Rinna are doing laps in her backyard. They're like, they're jogging.
Fucking Kyle.
Yeah.
Everything is about how rich Kyle is. She's like, "Look at us jogging in my backyard. This is nuts."
Yeah.
And these three are trying to make us think that they're like super fun on their own show. And it's really not. Okay. Watching somebody run around their backyard is disgusting. It's disgusting.
I also am not convinced that it's a good workout. I mean, yes, technically she says if you run around 9 times, it's a mile. Who wants to keep count that? That's like really a lot of like, chances are, if you are a Beverly Hills housewife, you probably want to run 2 miles, two, maybe 3 miles. I mean, Teddy ran 3 miles on the camping trip. That's 27 laps. That's like a lot to count, okay? Just find a track or a treadmill.
I would say go outside, but you live in Encino, and I'm not sure how that works there.
I know. It's bad enough that you drag these people to Encino, and now you're making them run around your backyard where they could trip easily.
And Ren is so impressed by everything. She's like, "Oh my god, is that rosemary? Can I eat that? Oh my god, it's a gem. You have a gem. This is crazy."
See, Ren is someone I'd like to see have a marathon storyline, because she'd be like, "Oh my god, look, it's a store. It's a Nike town. It's not actually a town, but it's called Nike town. Oh look, Restoration Hardware. They restore hardware, I think. It's hardware that's restored. Chopper juice. What is that? What is that?"
As she passed by people in the marathon, she'd be like, "Hi, how are you? How are you? I'm winning. How are you?
Is this a free cup of water for me? Okay. It's a free cup of... Another one. Oh, another cup of water. Great. Thank you. Thank you.
She's like, makes a mile 0.4 after 6 hours.
So I was like, okay, Kyle has talked about how much money she has. When do they get to Vanderpump? Because you know it's coming up, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's like, let's talk about camping. And Brenda's like, I had pie. I had pie for breakfast. I had a pie for breakfast, lady.
Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a meal that normally is reserved for like eggs and croissants. But I had a pie, which is for the other meals. It's crazy.
She's like, it was fun, wasn't it? It was fun. We had a good time, didn't we? Think about it, guys. It was fun. Wasn't it fun?
And Rotendi's like, what about Camille? And she like gestures like Camille massaging a prostate. And Teddy's like, she went from prostate to know-it-all. Hi, I'm Teddy.
God, that girl's a dog with a bone. She just cannot let go. It's like, okay, now let's talk about me. Mm-hmm. Immediately. And Rena's like, well, sorry. I don't want to stick my finger in butts. I mean, who even thinks of that? That's crazy. Teddy's like, oh, what about me? You know, like, I don't even mind that she called me a know-it-all. It's the tone. The tone she used. I mean, did you hear that tone?
They're like, Camille only has one tone, and it's,
Yeah. So Kyle's like, well, you know, she was trying to say that because at the Boy George concert, you know, you kind of butted into that fight. She's like, yeah, but if I feel something, I say something. Okay. It's like terrorism. And the second I can't say what I want around people, then I don't want to be friends with those people anymore. Shrug.
I know, taking such a bold stance with Camille. But then she's like, but I'm still invited to the wedding, so I guess I'm good with her, but I don't know. Hi, I'm Teddy.
Yeah, she put out a tweet this week that was like, well, I guess Camille forgot to pack her second face.
Oh.
And then Teddy's trying to be all badass on Twitter, but she's such a fail. She's such a fail tweet. And then Camille just wrote back, that's mean.
This is what Brett Kavanaugh had to go through.
So, speaking of packing things, Denise is packing for Miami because she's doing a TV show that, like, an edgy TV show that has things happening in Miami. So she's packing.
It's sexy and provocative.
Sexy and provocative and edgy and has dialogue. So she's packing and Aaron's like watching, and of course Aaron still has that softcore porn voice, and he's like, "Hey babe, you anything you need me to do? Like I could do you if you want."
Hey Aaron, see if you can fit your dick in the suitcase.
I could do that for you, babe, right now. Want me to fix this pipe? It looks like it might burst.
So she's like, yeah, there's a lot of guilt being a working parent, but I gotta work. You know, Charlie blew all his goddamn money, fucking idiot. And so we go to this, like, God, it's hard being a mom and having a job. And it's kind of an overplayed Real Housewives trope.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like watching Denise, you know? Like, yeah. When I write down her scenes, I'm like, why am I writing this down? But yeah. I still like watching.
Same. And I also enjoy her simple pleasures. She's like, God, you know, I love going on the set. You know, when I'm at set, it's great. People are like, do you want a coffee? When I'm at home, it's like, okay, Aaron's sticking his dick in me again. All right.
It's like us. You're like, free bottled water? What? This is crazy. I get to go in boarding group 4 instead of boarding group 6? Oh my God, what have I done to deserve this?
This is why Ronnie and I do live shows, because we just want free water backstage.
We're very easy to please.
I'm telling you, nothing beat the 9:30 Club when they actually gave us cupcakes. I'm like, wait a second. We're like, what? Cupcakes?
I know, we almost fell down. We're like, what is this? We made it! Hand us our Emmys or Grammys or whatever the hell you get for this.
Our daytime Clio Awards. So Denise is going to be going away for a few days. So she's saying goodbye to Eloise, who's so sweet, that sweet little Eloise. So she says bye, and then they're like, don't worry, I'm coming back in a few days, and Aaron's only going to the airport. And so Eloise gives, when Eloise hears that Aaron's going to take Denise to the airport, Eloise gives Aaron a hug. It was so cute.
It was. My only thought in this was Aaron's totally getting blowjobs from the assistant Matt while she's gone.
And my thought was, Aaron is totally getting blowjobs from Janice on the way to the airport.
Except for those damn GoPros.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to Erica rehearsing on stage. She's like,
great fun. Great fun with my pussy. Boxed up with my pussy. All right.
And Mikey's like, yes! Big dick energy! Big dick energy! Big dick energy! And turn into a dick. Oh my god, these people.
Lasers! Lasers! Orgasm!
I just like how they're marking their dancing while going,
my kitty's like a python, ticking like a time bomb. Big dick energy.
And then Erica's like,
can I hold on 1 second. Hey, can I get some yak hair up here to make my hair look fuller?
I was like, what is happening at this rehearsal? Is this the way they always are? Request for yak hair and big dick energy.
I'm not gonna lie and be bullshit humble. No, motherfucker. I've been dreaming this shit up since I was a baby. The Globe Theater sells 900 people. We sold it out. That's right, man.
There is pressure in LA that is unmatched. You're performing in front of other performers. So you have to really up your yak hair game.
Yeah, really, really selling it with that Kentucky Fried Chicken church hat thing you're wearing in your new confessionals.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Can't.
I liked it. I like an odd shaped hat sometimes. It's like a little cute little, like a little disc right on Erica Jane. I liked it.
God, that cat's trying hard. That hat's trying harder than half this cast. I'll give it that much credit.
Yeah, the hat certainly has more personality than half the cast. So
there's a pressure in LA that's unmatched. You're performing in front of other performers. Not for performing in front of strangers. But it's all right, Julia Roberts. It's all right, Maurice Nichols. I'll perform for you. You don't have to give me any energy back, right?
Nothing makes me more nervous than looking down the audience and seeing Sandy Duncan right there. And I'm like, I'm flying too.
Nothing like blaming the audience for your failures before you've even performed. I like how she's laying the groundwork for this.
So then we go over to Aaron and Denise, and they've gone to someone named Carrie's house. I was like, is this LAX? I don't think so. Why did you mislead us? You're at someone else's house, bitch. Why? So they're there because Lola is getting her hair and makeup done. There's going to be a homecoming dance. And it's Lola's first date. This was Sammy. Lola, right? Or Aunt?
No, Sammy.
Sammy.
Yeah.
Oh. Are Lola and Sammy twins, or are they just close in age?
No.
I just assume every daughter's named Lola in Denise's household. So Lola 1 and Lola 2.
Whatever Lola wants!
Yeah. So anyway, it's Sammy's first date, and it's also the homecoming dance. And Denise is like, well, I mean, to me, it's not a date. It's a dance, and there's a fucking difference, okay? Literally, there's a fucking difference. You fuck at one, you don't fuck at the other.
But mommy asked me, she goes, well, that doesn't mean anything, all right? So your only date's your 30s. Shut the fuck up. All right? God, I'm so sad I'm not going to see you wear your dress.
I loved your transition there from accidental Erica Jane into Denise. That was amazing.
Because I was scrolling through to see who Lola is. Isn't Lola her, the daughter she just said bye to at home?
That's Eloise. Is there no Lola? Is Lola just totally a okay, I got
Lola. Yeah,
it
there's
up.
A Lola. Someone's named Lola. I don't know, sorry. Lola, I love you. Denise Richards. Don't care about your children, okay? It's like real life.
Yeah, she has kids named, I think, Sam and Lola. Huh.
There you go. So, yeah, so they're all getting their makeup done, and Denise is upset because she's not going to see her leave for the dance. And the kid's like, Mom, who cares? I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. So she's like, try on your dress. I want to see it. And I love that Denise really does stick to her gun. She's like, you're going to wear a long sleeve dress that goes all the way up to your neck.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to wear a turtleneck, and I'm going to zip you into the sleeping bag, and you're going to hop around this dance.
She's like, well, I feel bad because I miss so many important things like cheerleading practices and science fairs. I mean, look, I taught my daughter how to make her homemade dildo for the science fair. I didn't even get to see her present it.
God. We just called it a volcano and called it a win.
But Aaron and I knew what was up. We do the volcano all the time. We're doing it right now. Come out from under there, Aaron.
So then back with Erica, Mikey's like, one hour in that bag!
And then,
clam attacking! The clam is attacking!
And so Erica's like, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. And then Tom shows up. She's like, I don't, oh, hi, Tom. Oh, how are you? How's it going?
Tom, look, everybody. It's Tom.
I'm going to have a wonderful show tonight, Tom.
Tom's like, hi, Erica. Well, it's great to be here, Erica. Erica, can I have some coffee?
I'm not a waitress anymore, Tom, all right? It's 2019.
But could you vote for Ronald Reagan for me?
God damn it, Tom, it's 2019, Tom.
So meanwhile, in this episode where pretty much nothing has happened, we now go over to Kyle, PK, Mauricio, and Dorit. They're on an SUV heading to Erica's show. And Kyle's like, oh my God. So then Camille, Mauricio, get this. Camille was saying that she like rubbed her ex's prostate. And like, no one's interested.
She does it with her hands. She's trying to show them how. And of course, Kyle's acting like this is the craziest thing she's ever heard. Mm-hmm. And PK's like, it looks like you played the piano upside down.
That might just be the diabetes speaking.
So Kyle's like, yeah, PK apologized to me 19 million times, so I'm over it now. We're good. He did it how I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrive, and Kyle tells us, I've seen Erica twice now, but I'm with my husband, and I've bragged to him about her, like, hello, our friend's a rock star. It's like, ugh.
Kyle is so transparent. It really infuriate me. Like, she's clearly, I mean, I feel like she's truly only friends with Erica because she wants to brag that her friend is like a musician and a rock star, right? Is that just me?
I think she's just team building. I mean, I don't think Kyle walks out of those concerts going, wow, that was, woo, wow, that was something.
But I think, though, that she is, like, she walks out of that concert to be, and is like, yeah, I know her. Yeah, I'm her friend. The one who's on stage, I'm her friend.
Ugh.
You know?
I don't know. I try and not put too much thought into Kyle because it'll make me start raging, all right? I'm having a smoothie. I'm having a very calming day here on this Real Housewives recap.
Mm-hmm.
Even writing down Kyle lines, I read that line out loud, and I'm like, why did I even write that down? Kyle has, like, nothing of interest to say to me.
I was honestly just writing things down because I had to write something down because nothing was happening on this episode. It was like Erica was rehearsing. They went to see Erica. The end, you know?
Pretty much. So then in the car, Denise is on the way to the airport, and Aaron's driving. He's like, yep, still driving. You need anything while I'm driving? You need me to stop for something? I'm here to serve you. She's like, are you going to be able to go to 4 days without fucking? All right, you can jerk off when we have phone sex. What else is he supposed to do?
I know. He's like, I sort of do that already. I'm like, I can't believe that Denise going to the airport has already taken up half of this episode. That's how little is happening on this show right now. Is that Denise leaving her house and getting to LAX has taken up a good half of this episode.
Yeah, pretty much, man. So then we cut back to Erica, and Mikey is, you know, now gendering the building that they're in. Because that's how Mikey rolls. He's like, honey, she is packed out there. How much time you need before you go inside her? I'm like, shut up over there, you two.
Yeah.
So 5-10 minutes old.
So then Rinna shows up, and she's wearing a ponytail. So everyone's like, whoa, Rinna in a ponytail. And she's like, hi, how are you? How are you? I want to have another hairstyle before I die. So I'm trying things out. But honestly, my hairstyle's pretty iconic. You can't beat it. Who looks better in this than I do, baby? Not you, Paige Davis.
Paige Davis. Honey, my hair is iconic. I'm like, wow, okay, so Lisa Rinna's come with a hair storyline. This show's really killing it right now, okay? So then Dorinda's like, eek, oh, and then it's just Erica walking around backstage trying to see through her sunglasses, which she can't. She's like,
all right, now here's the part where I turn around in a circle and grab a dollar with my pussy. All right, everybody, got it? Got it, boys?
So the lights go off in the theater, and then the music starts up, and there's like a whole video monitor. There's actually like a good amount of production in this thing. And we are,
it's expensive to the It's expensive to the
And then you just see all the gays in the audience just like losing their minds, just like the skin melting off their faces. It's just bones.
It's a bunch of skeletons left. Like, oh my God!
It's like finally the body I've been waiting for.
When the lights go off and the music starts, I get really turned on. I celebrate.
Okay, so then she's like, tick ticking like a sniper. It takes better to my I'm like, why are you blowing all of your wads in a montage at the beginning? Like, you have three songs.
I'll give a fuck.
I'll give a fuck.
How many fucks do I give? None. Painkillers.
And so then meanwhile, poor Edwin. Teddy's there with Edwin, and Edwin is like really having some dancer FOMO because he apparently was a dancer in a club like 45
apparently,
years ago.
Apparently super, super strippery club. Yeah. Because when we see his moves, I'm like, why is he deep-throating the cucumber off the charcuterie tray?
Yeah, and Teddy's just like laughing at him like, oh, seriously? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he wants to audition to be a background dancer, and I'm like, you're too short, and hi, I'm Teddy. So
and hi, I'm Teddy. So then when Painkiller comes on, Rena loses her mind. She's like, yes,
own it, baby, own it.
Yeah, loving the music it. Goes out during Painkiller, and the sound guy's like, what, you said to kill the pain. I stopped it.
And Mike is like, so should we stop it? Like, what should we do? I'm like, do you not have a contingency plan for when this happens?
I was like, I really hope that Erica will just do what a real artist would do and just give us a little a cappella version of Summertime. Come on, Erica.
Summertime. And the living is, I don't give a fuck what the living is. It's summertime. I don't care. I got air conditioning.
I care. I got air conditioning. Pasadena.
It was hilarious how she's like, the show must go on. So she just kept lip syncing to nothing. She just kept mouthing the words.
I mean, this is sad. I couldn't tell. Well, actually, I couldn't really tell how much audio was in the room because I felt like there was some. Like, she was still going through the routine, and then she started doing a clap thing to get everyone clapping. And then, you know, they came back. So everything was fine. But yeah, it was awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of a nightmare.
And Rena's like, that is showbiz, babe. You know, you record some music so you never actually have to sing or hire musicians or have any real talent. And then when the music goes out, you just stand there clapping like an idiot. Just like showbiz.
You know what else is like showbiz? The fact that my agent called. And guess what? They're paying me $35 to stick my finger up someone's prostate. I'm doing it, guys. It's actually happening. It's a commercial.
And Tom's like, oh my God, this was amazing. Liza, I love you. It's 2019, Tom.
So then it's like,
I got some flowers here. They sent to China Rivera. Who the fuck is that, Tom?
So now it's after the show. And so Tom goes backstage. And so Erica and Tom have a nice little moment where they're like hug, and she like kisses him a little bit, and she's like, "Ha, honey, did you like the show, bubs? Did you like the show?" And he's like, "I didn't know what that was. I was waiting for you to come on. I was there the whole time."
He's like, "Wow, Anne Bancroft is a great singer."
God damn it, Tom. All I really need is for Mr. Girardi to think it's good. He's been with me ever since I came home and told that kitchen table I was ready to perform again. That kitchen table told me, ask Tom for some money. And I'm in. Here I am.
But you know what, though? You got to give credit where credit's due. And Erica is really good about being like, well, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be anywhere because he's bankrolling this shit. So, you know what? Like, some people would have been like, I'm here because of my own merits. And, like, no, she's like, no, this is fully Tom. If it weren't for him.
Credit where credit is due. Yep. And Erica has plenty of Tom's credit. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
So then Rick.
And Mikey's like, honey, you blew out the sounds, girl. I've never seen people in LA freak out like that, honey. That was a jaded bitch.
And then Rena comes backstage. She's like, hello. 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 I found a room. I'm in a new room. Hello.
No
How are you? And then when she's talking to Tom, they all talk to Tom like he's peeing himself as they're talking, you know? She's like, wasn't that awesome, Tom? I was so proud of her. She was so awesome. Wasn't that awesome, Tom? Look how far she's come. Tom, are you awake? Tom, Tom's dying. Tom's dying, everybody.
And then PK is trying to be like all cool with the backup dancers. He's like, well done, guys. Well done. Amazing. Amazing. Respect. Respect. They're all like, who the fuck is this guy? Who is the fuck is this guy with diabetes 2 that looks like it could turn into diabetes 1 any moment?
Yeah. So Marie, PK is sitting with Maury and Edwin, and Kyle is drunk. So now she's like, yeah, I'm going to lap dance my husband because we're sexy now. We talked about sex that time. Ugh. I was like, God, Kyle's even sexy giving. I mean, she's even awkward as fuck giving a lap dance.
Well, of course, see, once Erica comes out to see her guests, like, you know, Erica's like, and I get, once she like goes and like everyone's out there, so she steps outside and was like, yay, Erica. And of course, the very first person is Kyle. Kyle runs right up to her to give her like the hug first, you know, gotta get in there first. And now, then Kyle tries to try on Erica's boots. And she's like, oh my God, like I can't fit in these boots, you know? And then after that, then she tries to give this lap dance to Mauricio to show, like, I can be sexy too. Like, there's such a competitive vibe with her. It really rubs me the wrong way.
That's little Kyle.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, London, it's the weekend. And here at Now TV, we take your free time seriously. That's why we've got loads of the latest shows and movies. There's Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. Zac Efron plays Ted Bundy, the notoriously charming serial killer. Or Plenty of Glitz and Glamour in the south of France, until things start exploding in the gripping drama Riviera. So whatever you're in the mood for, Now TV's got you covered. 18 plus month passes auto-renew, terms apply.
So then they're all doing shots and stuff, and Erica's like, oh, hi, Cap, my old choreographer lady. How I use some of your moves. Did you see that? Thanks for the box step. Changed my life. Seriously. And Kat's like, wow, I never saw those costumes before I saw them on stage. What an amazing show.
Yeah, and then Teddy is talking about how she and Edwin had sex to Party in the USA. A lot of stuff happening this backstage right now.
Yeah. And then Tedwin auditions for Erica and just starts grinding on the floor.
She's like, oh, okay. Oh. It's a little sad right here what's happening, but I guess I'll just, oh, it's still going. All right. Okay.
Well, I think you should call that dance The Reason Teddy's Always Sad.
Is that the accountability dance?
So then over at Villa Rosa, Jiggy is chasing Harrison around, and it's so sad watching him chase his replacement. He's like, aren't we having fun? Like, they're even in the same clothes in case she has to switch them out last minute.
Yeah, and Lisa's like, no, don't use your last breaths on Harrison. Here, go on this stool and just sit.
Now let us talk to Camille. Hello, Camille, how are you? That was Jiggy!
I miss you. I'm in Beverly Hills doing some last minute shopping for the wedding.
Oh, well, I would love for you to come over and have some tea with me.
Camille's like, oh, yes, absolutely. And then Camille tells us that she's still upset that Lisa never reached out to her about not going to the bridal shower, but she would rather keep the peace with Lisa, so she's not going to push the issue.
Yeah, so then over with Kyle and Teddy, they're with their kids going to a nail salon.
Mm-hmm. And
super exciting stuff, guys.
Super. So Kyle is, so they're sitting there, and Kyle tells Teddy that her bridesmaid dress for Camille's wedding hasn't arrived. She goes, I mean, like, I ordered it late, I'll admit, but I'm like, don't just like brush over that. You ordered it late so that way it would not come on time. You wouldn't have to wear it. But we saw the previews for next week. You have to wear it anyway. It comes.
UPS has betrayed you.
Yeah. And so apparently at this wedding, there's going to be some sort of like paddleboard competition and then breakfast. So probably a disaster.
Yeah, and Teddy's the only one who cares to read the calendar. She's like, I've read the calendar, and at 8 a.m. we have breakfast, and then we have a paddleboarding competition. I hope you have a swimsuit and a paddleboard. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. Why? God? And then they have the inevitable talk about how they're both working mothers, and isn't that hard?
I know. Teddy tells this, like, really fascinating story. She's like, the other day I'm putting Slate to bed, and she's like, Mom, you're rushing bedtime. Hi, I'm Teddy. I'll be applying for the Moth tomorrow.
And Kyle's like, yeah, you know, I'm just so busy, you know, with one less show on the air and then all those stores doing all that non-business that they're not doing.
Yeah, it's just so much to take care of. There's like another dog, fewer kids, fewer shows to do. And I just can't. It's too much. I'm going to close the stores just because it's because I'm busy, not because the stores are not busy.
Yeah. And then Kyle's like, yeah, my dogs are a full-time job. This is hard. And Teddy goes, yeah, Cruz feels it the most, but hey. And then Slate goes, Mommy. She's like, Slate, what do mommies always say? And she said, mommies always come back. And I was like, oh my God, can I volunteer to babysit and show Slate Hope Floats? Because it's going to like ruin her. It's going to make her so sad.
Oh, I thought it was because he wanted to put her to sleep. Booyah. Burn on Hope Floats 20 years later. I hated that movie. I saw it in the theaters.
I love that movie.
It
was beautiful. It was just so sad because the reason I say that movie is because they had that scene where the dad's like, I'm leaving. And he leaves Sandra Bullock. And then the daughter is chasing the car. It's like the saddest thing. I sobbed when I watched it.
It's a comedy.
I shouldn't even make jokes about it. But gosh, I love anytime I can bring Hope Floats into anything. What a film. What a film.
Harry Connick Jr.'s greatest work.
Oh, God.
I hated it. I hated it with a passion. I had to watch it because I had to write a review of it for my college newspaper. So I'm sure there's some scathing review of Hope Floats with my byline under it somewhere. I'm sure someone can find it. Now it's going to pop up, I guarantee.
I don't want to read it. I don't want to fight about Hope Floats. I love Hope Floats. Who doesn't love Hope Floats? Even Ben loves Hope Floats. Right, Ben?
If we all clap, I will love Hope Floats. No one?
I'm clapping. We're all clapping.
I love Hope Floats.
We're all clapping. Okay, I put Hope Floats review, Ben Mandelker, and it just comes up with watch it crap and stuff. What the hell?
Wait, I'm going to look up, because I'm sure that I wrote like a
scathing... Oh, yes, I found it. I found it.
Oh, my God, read it. Because I'm sure I was like eight, I was like 19, so it was probably
articles,
like...
advanced search from the Dartmouth.
Yeah, yep,
that
there it is, the Dartmouth.
You, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where is it?
This is more entertaining than Beverly Hills, let's be honest.
No, yeah, nothing's happening here, so let's see. Ben, when match. Okay, but then where's the article?
Oh, it's okay. Oh, wait. Oh, I think I found it.
I found a page with a bunch of different...
Hope Float,
starts off strong, but winds up boring.
Oh, my God.
Hope Float starts off as a sharp parody of talk show television. Kathy and Jimmy in a dead-on portrayal of a Ricky Lake type. Oh my God, I love that you give Kathy and Jimmy credit. Because...
I like start off with the most important thing, which is Kathy and Jimmy.
Yes. Plays Tony Post, a pseudo-sincere TV hostess. Poor, unsuspecting Birdie, Sandra Bullock, comes on the show expecting a free makeover. Well, she's in for a shock. She finds out that her husband has been having an affair with her best friend.
I don't even remember this.
This is awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
There's some chemistry between Bullock and Connick Jr., but a few encounters at a diner, on the street, or at a dance really don't do enough here. Plus, the dialogue between the two is pretty stale stuff. It comes off sounding like the results of a how to write a romantic scene manual. The words are formulaic, unnatural, and stupid.
I like also that. Did I really say that? There's also an odd and kind of annoying little kid named Travis who lives with Ramona, which I didn't even remember that there was someone in. Whoa, Ramona in Hope Floats.
Whoa.
He's her grandson, and his mom is off in California, presumably working on a television pilot. Turns out that Justin has also been in California recently, but left suddenly for no reason. Could Travis be the result of Justin and Birdie's sister? Will Birdie go back on national television to put her husband in his place? Will Bernice get revenge on Big Dolores? I'm sorry. Are these names really from Hope Floats? Bernice, Dolores, Birdie? This is amazing.
The movie asks all these questions but never answers them. The only thing that really matters is the romance between Birdie and Justin. Too bad Whitaker doesn't realize that this is one of the weakest points of the movie. Oh, well, I never.
However, Bullock, despite the poor material she's given, is very good in her role. She has lots of reservation with the role and really is proficient in portraying a once strong woman struggling to get her act together. See, I was always a Sandy Bullock fan.
So thank you. Okay, you made it up to me with that. In the past, Sandra Bullock compliment.
Well, and then the final paragraph. There's actually a very good scene with Birdie in an unemployment office with Dot. Someone named Dot? Dot, the former fat girl in Birdie's high school. The scene is tense, well-written, and nicely acted. The problem with Hope Floats is that it has a handful of these strong moments, but they're scattered in empty fluff. The movie just can't get it together for the end. Wow.
Well, you know, Sandra Bullock read that. And it changed her life because she has not made a stinker since.
Wow. That review is almost 21 years old, which is
crazy. Isn't that crazy?
June 1st, 1998.
Wow. Oh my God, Internet. Bless you, Internet. Thanks for that little detour.
Yeah.
Because now we're back to Villa Rosa, where Camille is arriving in a blue fur coat and a little tiny girl's pink backpack. Camille, what the fuck are you doing
right
now?
She looks like Cookie Monster. She basically, for a moment, this scene starts to look like a haunted house movie or like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. She walks into like an empty Villa Rosa and she's like, hello? Hello, Lisa?
Hello.
Anybody?
Just walks up to a vase like, hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hello,
hello, hello. Oh, look, the walls, they seem to be bleeding. Oh, wait, no, that's rosé. No, wait. Is that tuna tartare coming from the walls?
Oh, my God. That skin tag is walking. Oh, hi, Ken.
So Lisa comes. By the way, did you notice that Lisa does this, like, fast walk around the corner? It's, like, her new thing this season when she's so excited to see a friend. She just comes out of nowhere. Lisa's, like scampers across. She's like, oh, hello. Welcome.
And it's also another scene where Lisa is, like, so excited to see someone who's screwing her behind her back.
Yeah.
It's like, she's always running to this door all happy. Corner! Like, with this big, huge smile on her face, and she's always getting fucked over by the end. You know?
So they do this hilarious thing where they talk about how they've been friends for a long time. So we see this montage. It says, like, 2010, and we see Lisa and Camille, like, oh, hello, mwah, hi, mwah. And then it's, like, 2011, hi, mwah. Hi, mwah. And that goes That goes 1 minute earlier. Hi, mwah.
Yeah, the poor editors are really having to work overtime this year.
Yeah, try to find something entertaining.
And she's like, wow, to see her happy now is great. So, you okay? Great ring. Good reason. Good reason to marry her. Like, oh, well. And Camille goes, the diamonds are
a girl's best friend. Say it up to be a girl's best friend. Girl's best friend. Say
it slowly. It's a girl who has a friend.
Girl's best friend.
It's a good friend to a girl's
best friend.
Fascinating.
So upsetting.
Upsetting.
I love that she could not get that saying correct. A very simple saying.
And it's Marilyn Monroe, which Camille totally is a ripoff of Marilyn Monroe. So it's kind of funny that she doesn't even know the saying. So she's like, well, diamonds are better friends than mine, apparently. Ooh. But I don't want to include you in that battle. I'm here to talk about you and how you feel about me getting screwed over by everyone I've ever loved. Oh!
Where's that tea, John Sessa? Can you bring in the tea, please?
Oh my God, she deserves this tea.
Tea. So, Camille's just saying how she starts telling us that I just always want to be the better person, and you know, I thought the most thing
you
to
want
do,
to do be a better
be
person,
a better person
and,
a,
you know, the right thing to do
the right
thing to invite all the ladies,
invite all the ladies,
you
know, and
you always
and
try to be the better person.
Try to be the better person, and Justice Kavanaugh, and so upsetting. So yeah, she was saying how she invited all the ladies to her wedding because she wants to be the better person in a time of conflict, i.e. she fucking hates Teddy, but is inviting her anyway, so she has the moral high ground.
Yeah. She's like, but if you were to come, I would want you to feel comfortable, but I still want you there, but you come. And it's like, commercial. Dun, dun, dun. Will Lisa Vanderpump go to a wedding?
So the answer is actually no. Lisa's like, I'm sorry, Camille, but I can't. I can't put myself in a position where I will have to stand on a different side of the party and not talk to people. I can't.
Let the real bitches of Beverly Hills go alone. And she's like, well, I really want you there, but I mean, I would hate for you to feel pressure. She's like, well, you could just invite me and cancel everyone else. I'm kidding, not.
So, kidding. just a joke, but seriously, and disinvite them all and you'll be safe.
So Camille's like, well, you know, I understand. I've been in a position where people have called me delusional and a liar, and I guess maybe I just have more strength than she does. If you do say so yourself, Camille.
Yeah. She's like, I wish I could make this better, but I don't know how to. But you and Kyle and me, you know, we've been around each other for a long time. I mean, there's still girls I'm getting used to. She's like, what do you mean? Have they said something about me? How does this have something to do with me? She's like, well, Teddy. What will I know about Teddy? Do you remember what Teddy's done to me?
Camille's like, well, you know, Teddy, she had a little go at me when we went camping. And then we see the footage of, like, them all sitting. Last week. And Camille's like, Teddy's a know-it-all. I'm like, you what? You're the one who went at Teddy. So, So Camille's like, I mean, you can't say, you know, this and that, and you don't know what the dynamic is. I mean, how does anyone know anything? I know nothing. That's the truth.
But you know, there's love between you and these girls. Maybe Kyle. And Vanderpump's like, they're all trying to make me feel like a terrible person. And it's like the Vanderpump monologue. Sessa comes out with like a little violin. She's like, a friendship is trying to reason with someone when they might be wrong. A friendship is not about calling someone a liar when they swear on their children's lives. A friendship is not expecting... What am I supposed to do, a lie detector? I don't need that. A friendship is not that. A friendship is not a cookie with... I will have a cookie with this tea, thank you.
Yes, please. So Camille's like,
oh, you know, when I see Kyle, I see sadness, you know? I mean, that's always been there, but I just see more of it now. I think she misses you.
I've never seen somebody wear sadness so literally in their clothing choices.
Did I say sadness? I mean just sort of general envy.
So she's like, well, I would be sad if I gave up a really good friend too. I've always stepped to her side. And Camille's like, I've supported her too. Yes, because that's what friends do. And then we get another clip, because that's all this show could do now. We get a season one clip of Vanderpump standing up for Kyle against Camille when Camille's like, she was mean to me. She's like, well, she didn't mean it like that. Come on, Camille.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, so now back in the present, Lisa's like,
well, you know, when Kyle said those things, I just felt smacked in the face, a big old smack, sort of like the one Ken gives me in bed. Right? No? Okay.
Yeah, she said, I believe them, and you're not a good friend, and you're more concerned with your image. And I said, get out. And I meant also, get out of my kitchen. And also, get out of my foyer. And also, get off of my bridge. And also, get out of my life.
I was so angry, I went back to 2016 and released a feature film called Get Out.
Ding, ding, ding. So Camille tells, and I have to agree with Camille on this one, still love my Vanderpump, really hate Victim Vanderpump.
Yeah,
not here for same. This. Not same. Liking it, terrible turn, you're making the wrong decision, get off your ass,
yeah,
and go film in events. I'm sick of this, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Camille's like, Lisa Vanderpump is not a victim. She's never been a victim, but she's behaving like she is one. It's sad to see. Shrug.
Yeah. Camille is just like dropping so many shady comments all over the season. It's hilarious.
I know. Welcome back, biatch.
I know. Seriously. And so Camille's like, no, but you and Kyle, you both have a special friendship. You know, you're the one that everyone loves and she's the one who wants to be you and replace you. That's special. Then Albie's like, we don't, it's done. I think Kyle Richards enjoyed throwing me under the bus a little bit too much. But guess what? I don't use the bus anymore.
This is not the Lisa I knew. The Lisa I knew would have shown up. She's running like this immature girl hiding from the truth. I want to see her walk the walk. Okay, I totally understand everything you're saying, and I wouldn't come either if I were you.
Yeah, exactly. And then they go to the foyer and just start whispering. It's like, I'm sorry. It's okay. No, I'm really, really sorry. No, it's okay. I just wish you could have been. I'm like, why are you guys whispering?
Because they're trying to do an off-camera thing. Like, darling, we're not on camera now because I can't use whispers. But I really am sorry that Kyle's a whole face and a slapmonger. All right?
And then Camille leaves and Lisa just puts her head into, like, Harrison's fur and is like, she is so nice, isn't she? And then just when we think it's over, we then get, like, 24 hours later, the producers realized that Lisa Vanderpump had a good idea.
I started cracking up at this when this happened. This totally validated the whole episode for me because this episode was lame.
Yeah.
But then we just see, it's like a documentary, and you see her hooked up to a lie detector test, and the guy's like, this is going to be used like a criminal test.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat you like a goddamn murderer. You understand that? She's like, oh, I'm so scared. What have you gotten me into, Sessa?
Yeah, because John Sessa is there. Like, why is John Sessa at the lie detector test? Oh, my
He's
God.
He's like, I know. And then the guy's like, have you ever sold a story to Radar Online, which is the name of a hooker we think you murdered. Did you murder that hooker? And then Lisa,
God,
not guiltily at all, says, this is quite tight, isn't it? Oh, it's like a blood pressure thing. To be continued.
That was such a ridiculous cliffhanger. I was like, I cannot believe they're putting Lisa Vanderpump into a lie detector test. Oh my God.
Yeah, and you know this only counts if John Sessa has to go next, right?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's not a good sign when Lisa Vanderpump has to steal plot lines from Gigi of Shaw's of Sunset.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah.
I took a lie detector. Now, your turn.
The truth is, I have been lying. I've been saying the food at Pump is only okay when it's truly delicious. The truth is out there, everyone. Just too good of a restaurateur.
Well, that brings us to the end of this glorious recap. We will be live streaming our Real Housewives of New York recap tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time. If you want to watch that, go over to Crappins On Demand on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. And go get tickets for your live shows and ticket links for our shirts, etc. And we will talk to you tomorrow. And we'll also see you guys in Irvine tomorrow night. Whoever's coming out for that.
Yeah, come see us. It'll be super fun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Guess what I got us today?
What?
Sky TV?
Sky? What next? Feeding the cat caviar?
No, it's only £22 a month.
Drawing up plans for a swimming pool in the back garden?
You're not listening. It's only £22.
Probably readying the gold-plated bathtub as we speak.
Nope, just Sky for £22.
Believe in being pleasantly surprised with original British drama, exclusive US shows and voice control from just £22 a month. Sky, believe in better.
Standard set of £20, 18-month minimum term, further terms apply.